Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Bava Metzia, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. On the last podcast of the third parak, we'll be looking at Mishnah Yud Aleph and then Yud Bet in two sections. Continuing in Mishnah Yud Aleph with the theme of the earlier Mishnayot about proper care for a pikadon. Hafkid Ma'ot Eitzel Shulchani. If somebody entrusts coins to a money changer, if the coins are tied up, and we'll see exactly what that means, then the money changer may not use them. He is a shomer chinam here. Therefore, if they are lost, he's not chayav. However, mutarin, if they are untied, then yishtamesh bahen. He can use them for his own money-changing business. And we judge him here to be something akin to perhaps a shoel, because he's borrowing them, he's able to use them. Therefore, if they are lost, he is liable. It's a balabait, but if he entrusts them to a regular person, not to a money changer, whether they are tied or untied, the shomer may not use them. Therefore, in any case, he is not liable because he continues to be a shomer chinam. Now, the question is, what is a storekeeper? Chenvani kebalabait diver Rav Meir. Meir says that a chenvani is like a balabait. Only a money changer would have the purview to use monies, coins that were entrusted to him, because that's his business. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chenvani k'shulchani, he disagrees and says that a storekeeper is like a shulchani because he does have to deal with money. Okay, the Gemara first asks, Mishum detzurin lo yishtamesh bahen? Just because money is tied up, how else are you going to give money? How does that indicate that you can't use it? It means it's tied up and sealed. There's a seal on the money pouch not to break. Rav Meri Amar B'Keshem Mishuneh, he adds one thing in, which is that if instead of sealing it, you had sort of an odd or distinct kind of knot, then that would indicate also not to use it. Yigadami Bar Amar Rav Meri, Keshem Mishuneh Mai, Teku. Other people read that Rav Meri's statement was not a statement, but rather a query, which is an odd, distinct knot also considered to be a sign that you may not use it? And the answer that in that version was Teku. Now, Mutarin Yishtamesh Bahen. If the money is untied, he may use it. Rav Huna afilu nensu. Rav Huna says that therefore, if the shulchani uses the money and the money was lost, even if it was ba'ones, he's still liable. V'avdu k'tani ay, the Mishnah said avdu, which indicates only if it was lost through some contributory neglect, but not total ones. The answer is k'dirabba, d'ama rabba, we saw this elsewhere. Rabba interprets sometimes that nignavu and avdu don't mean the classic stolen or lost, but rather nignavu is balistim mizuyan, armed robbers, and avdu is shetavas finatobayam, that it was lost at sea, meaning even an onus is included. That's where Rav Huna will interpret avdu in our Mishnah. Now, Rav Nachman amar nensulo, Rav Nachman disagrees with Rav Huna and says that if the money was ne'anas, then even the shulchani who got open money and was using it still wouldn't be liable. So I'm the Rav Lav Nachman. So Rav Nachman's student Rava turned to him and said, according to you, who says that Nansu would not be liable, so obviously we do not consider the shulchani to be a shoel on this money, because otherwise he'd be liable for onsin. So what is he? He's not a shoel. He's not a shomer sachar because he's not getting paid to watch it. So what do how do we define him? We can't define him as a shomer chinam anymore because we said avdu is chayiv. So amalei bahamo dinalach. Rav Nachman here says, I agree with you, but this agreement is not such an agreement. Tohoil v'nehaneh mehaneh. Since he's getting hanah, therefore bahu hanah demitramile zvina deit parav chazavin bahu. With the hanah that the shulchani gets, that if a good deal comes along, he can use the money to buy it. Havi alayu shomer sachar. Therefore, he's a shomer sachar. And we've seen similar things before. For instance, Rav Yosef's shita that a shomer aveda is a shomer sachar is based on the idea that if an oni were to come up to you at that point, you would not be obligated to give him money because you're involved in the mitzvah of taking care of the aveda. Therefore, you're considered a shomer sachar, that's the benefit you're getting. In the same way here, the benefit you're getting is that theoretically, were a good deal to come your way at this time, you would have ready funds to use for it. Therefore, we say that you are a shomer sachar. Okay. Eitzavei Rav Nachman Rav Huna. Now Rav Nachman turns to Rav Huna, who says that even chayv ba'onsin, and he challenges him as follows. Hamafkin ma'ot etzal shulchanei yim tzurin leishtamesh ben. The same piece as our Mishnah. And now we take it to the area of Me'ila. And remember that if a person gives money that belongs to Hekdesh, and he gives it to gives it away to somebody, then he, the giver, is liable for me'ila. If he entrusts it to somebody as hekdesh and the other person uses it, then the other person is liable. So now, if a gabai of hekdesh, a gizbar of hekdesh, gave the money to somebody else, l'fichach imotzi lo ma'ala gizbar. Therefore, if a gizbar, a treasurer of the mikdash, gives tied up money of hekdesh to somebody else, let's say a shulchani, then if he himself opens it up and uses it, lo ma'al ha-gizbar, the gizbar is not chayiv from ila, but ve'im mutarin yishtabesh ben, but if the money is untied, then the shulchani is allowed to use it. But therefore, if the money is hekdesh, t'vichay motzi ma'al ha-gizbar, therefore, if the shulchani uses it and it's money of hekdesh, the gizbar is chayiv from ila because the gizbar is the one who gave it to him. Now, ve'yamar tafilu nansu ma'ir yahotzi. So, according to Ravuna's challenged. According to you, Ravuna, the fellow's a shoel. That means that the gizbar gave him money for him to use. So why does the fellow have to use it? Afilu lo tzi mami. Think about this. If somebody takes money of hekdesh and gives it to somebody else as a she'ila, then the minute he gives it to him, there's already me'ila. So amalehu adin afagavdu lo tzi. So Ravuna answered back, you know what, you're right. The shulchani doesn't have to use the money for the gizbar achai b'chai me'ila. But since the Reisha says Hotzi, so the Seif also says Im Hotzi. But the truth is that the minute that Gizbar gives him money that's untied and that he may use, he's already Chai from Ila. Okay, the beginning of Mishnah Yod Bet. HaShaleach Yad B'Pikadon. If somebody is Chai for Shlichut Yad, they do use the Pikadon that they've been entrusted to with. Literally, it means that they suffer with the depreciation and appreciation, which seems to say that they're going to pay whatever the higher amount is, either per the value when they were given it or per the value when they used it. Beitilah says, you always pay as per the value at the time of Hotza'ah. What the time of Hotza'ah is, as I indicated on the page, we will discuss in the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva says, no, you pay as per the moment of the claim. Whenever the fellow comes and claims, I want my stuff back, and then whatever the value is at that point. So that means, clearly, Beit Hillel's Hashat Totsah does not mean that. What does it mean, we'll see. Amar Rabba. So this is a backdoor sugya where Rabba starts with a different discussion, and then we're going to invoke our Mishnah as part of the arguments. Hai man de gozal chavita de chamer michavrei. If a fellow stole a barrel of wine from another, mikare shavi zuzah hashta shavi arba, when he stole it, it was worth a zuz. And now, when things settle and things happened, it's worth four times as much. Tavra oshatya, if the thief broke the barrel or drank up the wine, mishalim arba, then he has to pay as per the value at the time he broke it or drank it, which is four. Eat parmeila, but if on the other hand it was sitting in his house and it broke on its own, it burst, something happened, mishalim zuzah, then he pays as per the original amount, even though at the point that it broke, it was worth four. My time, what according to Rabba, what's the reason for this distinction? Cave and ita hadra lamar baina. Imagine this. Let's say the barrel had never broken. Then it would be brought back as is. Hahi shata the kashati lo the katavra la kogazal minah. The minute that he drinks from it or breaks it, that's when the gzela happens. Utanan kola gazalim mishalim kashasa gzela. You always pay as per the moment of gzela. The moment of gzela in the case where he broke it or drank from it is at that moment. And that moment it's worth four. Eat parmamela, but if it breaks on its own and it was worth four, mishalim zuz, you only pay one y, my time, huh? Hashtalo avid lavalomidi. Right now he's not doing anything. It sat there and it broke. So Maika Machavile, what's the liability for? Maishata de Gazla goes back to the moment where he stole it out of the fellow's property. Haishata Zuzahu de Shavi. At that moment it was worth one. Alright, that's Rabba's presentation. Now, Tanan, watch this. Beit Hillel Omrim Kishatot Sa'ah. In our Mishnah, Beit Hillel said that you pay for Shlichut Yad as per the moment of Hotza'ah. My kishat hotzah, what does that mean? Ilam kishat hotzah min olam, if you think it means from when it was taken out of this world, meaning spent, uvemai, what are we talking about? Iba chaser, if it depreciated, mamika lamanta amar, is there anybody who says that if something was worth four and you were entrusted with it, and then it became worth less, and then you destroyed it, you'd pay the lower amount? You always pay as per the shatak zela, which means that if it was worth more when you were given it, then that's what you're going to pay. Now, it can't be. The ibiater, if Beit Hillel says kishat hotza'ah means that you're going to pay the greater value, then hainu Beit Shammai, then that means Beit Hillel is saying the same as Beit Shammai. There's no disagreement. So it can't be that Beit Hillel says that you pay as per the moment that it was used, because if they mean that when it went down you pay the lower value, nobody says that. If they mean that if it went up you pay the higher value, that's exactly Beit Shammai. El Apshita Kishatotsan made Balin. Kishatotsan doesn't mean when it was taken out of the world, but rather when it was taken out of the owner's property, meaning when he entrusted it to you. So that means that according to Beit Hillel, you pay as per the time that it was given to you, even though you destroyed it. But Rabbah, if you remember, said that with a theft, you pay as per the value of when you destroyed it. So Lema Rabbah Damar Beit Shammai. So Rabbah's saying you pay the higher amount like Beit Shammai. So Rabbah's ruling like Beit Shammai? Not possible. So Amalcha Rabbah, here's how Rabbah would defend himself. He said, you're reading the Mishnah wrong. My point is still correct. You're reading the Mishnah and the Machloket wrong. Beyater Kuli Amalo Pligi. Everybody agrees that you always pay the higher amount. Ki Pligi B'chaser. The only question is if it depreciates. Beit Shammai Savish Lichudyad Enat Tzricha Chisaron. So the first answer we give is that Beit Shammai maintains the shita that we've seen throughout. Shlichut Yad does not need to have a chisaron. The minute that you take it, you're already a shaleach yad. V'chichoser reshuta didei choser. And therefore, when it became deficient, it was already yours. Meaning, it became yours the minute that you took it to use it. And then when it got destroyed, it became yours. V'etel al sav reshlichut yad tzricha chisaron v'chichoser reshuta demari choser. So therefore, the question is, it depreciated. And in whose watch did it depreciate? According to Beit Shammai, at this point, it depreciated under your watch. And therefore, you're going to pay the chaser. According to Beit Hillel, according to Beit Hillel, it depreciated under the owner's watch. I'm sorry, then you're going to pay chaser. All right, and according to Beit Shammai, it depreciated on your watch, which means you have to pay the higher amount. All right? So that means that El Hadam Rabbah Shlichud Yad and Tzricha Chisaron Lema Rabbah Damar Kabeit Shammai. But in that treatment, Beit Shammai is the one who holds the shita that Shlichud Yad and Tzricha Chisaron, and Rava said that was the halacha. So now Rava's ruling that Beit Shammai again impossible. Halacha my asking going to Totalala via like Gozalot. This is something we also saw earlier. What happened was you originally moved the barrel for simply the shomer. You moved the barrel in order to put some birds on it. You used it as a stand. Not to drink it or break it. It was Shola Shlomidat Kamipalgi. And the Machloka Beit Shammai Beit Hillel is when you borrow something without the knowledge of the owners. Meaning, you were entrusted something, now you want to use it for yourself. Not to use it up or expend it. Just to borrow to sit on it or put something on it. That's Shola Shlomidat. Beit Shammai Savi Shola Shlomidat Gazlan Havi. You're a Gazlan. And therefore, V'chichosu V'shuta Didei Chosu. And therefore, when it now went down in value, went down in, on your watch, you still own the higher value. Beit Hillel says, "Shoel Shlomidat, Shoel Have." Beit Hillel says, "No. Somebody who borrows something without the knowledge of the Bialim is still a Shoel. It still belongs to the owner." V'chichoser reshuta demara chaser. When it went down on his watch, and therefore you pay the lower value. So Alahadam Rava Shoel Shlomidat Rabbanon Gazlan Have. So Rava's statement, which is that Shoel Shlomidat is a Gazlan, then Lema Rava Damar Kabeit Shammai, we have the same problem. It sounds like Rava holds like Beit Shammai. We have the same problem several times now, which is that every way that we're parsing this machloket, the Beit Shammai position seems to be the one that's later adopted by Halacha. And none of that's possible. Halacha b'shevach shel gzeila kamipalgi. The machloket that we're encountering here is one of shevach shel gzeila, which means when somebody steals something, and then there is some benefit... there's some benefit that accrues from it. Beit Shammai says the Shevach goes to the Nigzal, which means that if this thing went up in value, that's to the credit of the Nigzal. If it went down in value, the Nigzal doesn't lose that. Says, no, if somebody steals something and then there's some profits from it, that belongs to the Gazlan. The Nigzal just gets back his thing in its original state. And therefore you pay as per the original moment. Plugged the honey tanoi, and that machloket parallels this machloket. Tanya hagozel et rachel. If you stole a lamb, gezazav yalda, and then it grew hair, and then you sheared it, or became pregnant, and then you it gave birth, and then you want to return it. Mishalim otavet gizotav alotad v'amir. Rameir says you have to return it, and all the shearings, the babies, everything. Yehuda Omer gezelach ozer peiner. Yehuda says no, you pay it back as is, and you keep all of the benefits. All right, which is the Beit Hillel's position. Tekanami, and actually if you look carefully at Beit Shammai's wording, you'll see that that's what it's about. Tekanami Beit Shammai mi yilka b'chaser v'yater v'mikshat otza'a, shmamina. Because Beit Shammai did not say yilka b'katano b'gadol, but rather, let's take a look at Rashi here. because it says chaser v'ater, and it says zol v'yoker. It doesn't say that you pay as per the greater amount or the lesser amount, but chaser v'ater, meaning there was some profit that came in, and that that Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai says you have to pay back all of the profits that came. Beit Hillel says, no, kishat hotza'a, whatever you took out, that's what you return, and if at any time there are profits, you keep them. Okay, Rabbi Kiva omer kishat hatfia. Rabbi Kiva said that you pay as per the moment of the claim. Amar v'yud amar shua alochak Rabbi Kiva. All right, that's fine, alochak Rabbi Kiva, although we will see at the end of our sugya that not everybody agrees. Umod Rabbi Kiva malkam shesh edim. Rabbi Kiva agrees that if there were edim to the shlichut yad, that then you would pay as per the moment the edim saw it, not as per the moment of the claim. My time, damar kraya asher ulo yinero biyomash mato. You have to pay back on the day of guilt. And since there are edim, the edim seeing you do the action of stealing or of shlichut yad, they're the ones who generate the chiyuv. So therefore, whatever the value is at that moment, it establishes the value. Rabbi, I told Merkain. So he asked Rabbi Yehuda, that's what you're saying in the name of Shmuel? Hachim Rav Asim Rabbi Yochanan. In Eretz Yisrael, we had a different approach. Rabbi Yochanan said, Chalukai Rabbi Kiva, afilu makom sheish edim. Rabbi Kiva disagreed with Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, even if there are edim, said it still goes after the moment of the claim in Beit Din. My time, same pasuk, different read. De'amar kral, asher hulo yinenu biyom ashmato. Uvedina hu dekam achai vilei ashman. It's the Beit Din that generates the chiyuv. And therefore, you pay as per when the claim happens. So in other words, everybody agrees that Rabbi Kiva relied on that pasuk. The question is how to interpret it. Amar Rabbi Zeira or Rabbi Ava Bar Papa. So Rabbi Zeira, who at the time was evidently in Bavel, said to, still in Bavel, said to Rabbi Papa, Ki Azal Lahata, when you go there to Eretz Yisrael, Aki Fasulma Detzur, take the roundabout way. Instead of going through Damascus and straight down to Tveria, go all the way to the coast, to Tzur. Go to Rabbi Yaakov Ra'idi, who is evidently a student of Rabbi Yochanan. So in Bavel at this time, they weren't sure what Rabbi Yochanan held, if he held like Rabbi, that halachas like Rabbi Akiva, even in a situation where there are edim. In other words, did he agree with Shmuel that if there are edim, Rabbi Akiva agrees, or did he say, as we have it here, that if there are, even if there are edim, he disagrees? Amar lehachim Rabbi Yochanan. So he answered back, when the question is whether he is Rabbi Yaakov Ra'idi in Sur, or whether this Rabbi Amar Papa already knew. So this is what Rabbi Yochanan said, Halacha Rabbi Kiva le'olam. Halacha follows Rabbi Kiva at all times. So my le'olam, what is le'olam? Mean Amar Avashi, shalot tamar hanimili hechad leke edim, ala hechad ike edim lo. So he said, what does le'olam mean? So Ravashi says, so you shouldn't think that Rabbi Kiva only holds his position if there's no edim, but if there's edim, that it's as per the moment of the action that you have edim to. The answer is no. Vinami, but another possible interpretation, he may agree with Shmuel that if there's edim, Rabbi Kiva concedes, de'ahadra l'duchta v'itpara. Rabbi Kiva may be talking here about, and it's Rabbi Kiva l'shitato, that if you took the item and then you returned it, and then it was broken, that you're still chayiv, le'olam, la'fukim Rabbi Shmuel, l'mar lo bayin dar balim, k'vashvalam bayin dar balim. That's to oppose the position of Rabbi Shmuel that says, remember we've seen this several times, that when you steal something you can return it without notifying the owners. Rabbi Kiva's position is you have to notify the owners, and therefore that's what le'olam may mean. Parenthetically, as I mentioned, Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan both seem to rule like Rabbi Kiva. Rav Amar Halacha Beit Hillel, he disagrees and says Halacha Beit Hillel. Of course, we had a parse with Beit Hillel meant Kishat Hotza'ah, and as Rashi points out, that is indeed the Halacha, as Rava is the last of the authorities of this, of Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan, and he's later. Okay, the last part of Yud Bet and the end of the parak, Hachoshev L'shloach Yad Pikaron. Let's say a person intended to do Shlichut Yad and didn't do so. Beit Shammai Mim Chayav. Beit Shammai says, from that moment on, you're Shaleach Yad, and if you're Chayav Onsin, Beit Hillel Mim Enochev Ad Shishlach Bo Yad. You really have to take it and use it. Shenemar, Yim Lo Shalach Yadom Lechet Reyu. That's what the oath is. The oath is not, I didn't intend to. The oath is, I didn't do anything. If you tipped the barrel and took a revit out and then it broke, and a shalom revit, you never took possession of it, and therefore you have to pay for what you took. But if you picked it up and you took a revit and then it broke, mashalom to make kula, then you are shaleach yad and you have to pay for the whole thing. Okay, minhani mili. How do we know? What's the source for Beit Shammai Beit Hillel? So Beit Hillel we saw said nimo shalach yado. What's Beit Shammai's source? Tana Rabbanan. I'll call Dvar Pesha, take a look on the page, I'll call Dvar Pesha, I'll sell some, etc., for any Pesha. But any Dvar Pesha. Dvar sometimes is interpreted as words. So here, Beit Shammai, even if you only intended to do it, now that doesn't mean a fleeting thought, but you actually planned to do Shlichut Yad, but you never got around to it, or you were foiled in your attempt, or whatever, at that point you're a Shaleach Yad. So Beit Shammai turned to Beit Hillel and says, "Valo kvar nimal kol dvar pesha." This is our ping pong. But you have, what about my pasuk? Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, "Look kvar nimal lo shalach adon alechet reyu." So Beit Hillel says, "What about my pasuk? The oath is not, I didn't intend to. The oath is, I didn't do anything." So Mken matzav lomar al kol dvar pesha. So the answer is, why does it say al kol dvar pesha? Beit Shammai's pasuk, "Sheachol ein li alahu." I might think you're only chayv if you, the shomer, Asholeach Yad, Amarli Avdol Shtucho Benayin. What if you told your slave, "I have that barrel there that somebody entrusted to me. Go take some wine from it." How do I know you're chayev? Talmud Lomar called Dvar Pesha. Meaning, Dvar here is interpreted as words, meaning that if I, the Shomer, doesn't instruct with words somebody who is under my control to go and be Shaleach Yad, then it says if I did it and then I am chayav. But not that if I just intended to do it. There has to be a real action. Okay, the last part of the Mishnah, he taught Tachavit, Amaraba Loshanu Ela Nishpura. He said, if I tip the barrel, and I'm only chayav for the part I took out, that's only if it broke. Aval Hechmitza, but if the barrel went sour as a result, Mishalim et Kula. Why? My Tangira Didehu Da Hanula. It's probably very likely that when I tipped it, it was my tipping it that exposed it to the whatever elements that led to it going sour. Therefore, I have to pay for the whole thing. But if I lifted it up, you don't have to really take a revit out. The minute you pick it up, you're already shaleach yad, even if you didn't take anything out, because you made a kinyan on it. So it sounds like Shmuel holds that shlichut yad doesn't need a chisaron, which again is a tempestuous disagreement that we've had over the last few daf, but Shmuel holds that position, that should shut the gate on it. Amri lo shani hachadanechalei the tehave hachavit kula basis laharavit. Said no. Here it's different because the shomer is pleased with having everything underneath that revit there, and it helps him out. Which means that it's not as if you just took the thing in order to use it. You needed to pick it up in order to get to that revit. Even though you in the end didn't take the revit, that was still a shlichut yad that sort of has a chisaron to it. So by Rav Ashi then asked, riffing off of that point. What if you picked up a money pouch in order to take a dinar out? Mahu. Chamra hu de lo minter ala agav chamra. Wine can't be watched unless it's with the rest of the wine. You take some wine out, it's on the floor, that's it. It has to be in the barrel in order to be watched. Avazuza minter, but a coin can be watched outside the pouch. So maybe if you just pick it up and don't take money out of the pouch, if you hold shlichut yad, shlichut chisar, maybe you're not shaleach yad. Odilma shan tiruta de arnikim tiruta de dinar. Or maybe you could argue that the watching of a money pouch is different than watching the coin itself, meaning in a money pouch it's better guarded. And so therefore you would say that picking up the pouch, just like picking up the barrel, is really an act almost of taking it. And the answer is teku. Rav Ashi left the parallel with the money pouch, the money pouch for the wine, as a teku. Adrona lachamavkid, shakach to all the lomdim. We've studied and completed a very challenging and exciting perek, and we will be beginning in the next podcast equally exciting and challenging with a different stripe, a chapter of Perek HaZahav, HaZahav Konet HaKesef. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.